This is the Fantasy Fast Track with Brandon Funston and Brad Evans.
Ready, set, go! This is a Fantasy Fast Track podcast presented by MonkeyKnifeFight.com. Brad the Big Noise Evans here, joined by Senior Fun Buns Brandon Funston and Chris McCaffrey. That was fun while it lasted. Because he came back, played the lion's share of the snaps, earned the lion's share of the touches, resembled the number one overall pick that everybody invested in back in August, easily eclipsing 100 combined yards, contributing a ton of receptions, finding the end zone, and then he got rolled up on late in the game, and now he's got a shoulder injury. Technically, he's day-to-day, but his status for this week's matchup against Tampa Bay, wah-wah, boo-boo, coming off the historic loss against New Orleans, very much in doubt for Christian McCaffrey. What do we do? Is this going to be a whole lot of Mike Davis, or is Curtis Samuel really the player that we should be focused on?
Well, we know what Mike Davis is, right? And yes, you're right. This was Christian McCaffrey popping back in week 9 with Simple Minds playing Don't You Forget About Me in the background. So we know that never doubt him, that while he's gone, don't diminish his value, because he will come back and be a stud. And he was, and we'll see how long he's out now. But we know what Mike Davis is. What we're seeing now, though, is that the Panthers are just full-on embracing the Percy Harvin-ness of Curtis Samuel and his ability to hurt you in so many different ways, like he did at Ohio State and like Ron Rivera did not utilize. He can not only go down the field and catch passes and be a threat that way, but you can just run him horizontally along that line of scrimmage and in misdirections and reverses and pitches, and he can kill you that way. And I don't think that's going to stop. And I think with Christian McCaffrey out, it only continues to grow. So I think he is a guy that you just can't even afford to take out of your lineup right now in Curtis Samuel.
Ooh, that could be a foreshadow of our Fantasy Five as we're bringing down some of the top waiver wire options to get you prepped for week number 10. And I think that's a very fair shake, but I'm going to reserve my in-depth analysis on Curtis Samuel for a little bit later on. Give me a stream quarterback of the week, Funson. There are a lot of great options this week.
Tua! Oh. I want Tua. He looked like the guy that I thought he could be in his second start. He played game manager in his first, didn't have to do anything. Yep. But this one, he had to throw with time running down on the clock. It was a tight game. He had to throw accurately, and he threw with with strength. His passes are on a rope, and he could run. He could get out of pressure, and he looked like all the things that would have probably had him right there for the number one overall pick had he not had the injury at Alabama. But he showed what kind of upside he's capable of, and I think he's going to show that more often than not going forward.
Well, yeah, and you get the Chargers, who rank now inside the top 7 in terms of most fantasy points allowed to the quarterback position. I think that's an excellent call. What about Alex Smith? I mean, why not against this week the Detroit Lions, those Hello Kitties? I think they deserve the designation, even more than Cincinnati, even more than Jacksonville, definitely more than the Sir Purrs of Carolina. I mean, Detroit is just unraveled in every facet defensively. Alex Smith could go out there and surprise Baker Mayfield and get off the COVID list, going up against Houston, who laid down and died, against another streaming option, Jake Luton, who is rooting, tooting, and shooting, and his starting an NFL debut against those aforementioned Texans. He gets Green Bay, that may or may not have Jair Alexander, is in concussion protocol. And Drew Lock, we'll see if John Elway has found his man, but he had a mammoth game last week through the air, and he also got it done on the ground, scoring a rushing touchdown against Atlanta. He is in Vegas to take on the Raiders, who have been also quite charitable in every facet defensively. What about a stream defense of the week?
I think that New Orleans is a great call. They're right at the 50% threshold in Yahoo. If I'm going deeper, one that's is like in the 30% range, it's Green Bay at home to Jacksonville. I thought Houston did a terrible job of making the rookie Jake Luton look uncomfortable. Jacksonville go on the road to Lambeau Field, and they got the guys in the Smiths that can come off the edge and get after Luton, and they have a guy in one of the best shadow covers in the league, and Jair Alexander can maybe slow the DJ Chark roll. So I like maybe Luton having the honeymoon be over in Lambeau this week.
Speaking of the Smiths, how soon is now for Minnesota? Well, you get Chicago on Monday night. Do I need to give any reasons? I mean, the Bears are terrible. Just blow it up. Fire everybody. Let's all move on. So there you go. And again, go to monkeyknifefight.com right now. Sign up for an account. And if you do as a new user, you get a free $5 game on the house when you use the promo code FTN. It's more or less. It's over or under. It's a very simple DFS game to play. It's just you versus the house, not against a bunch of lineup accumulators like some other DFS games. They're player props, folks. You parlay them together, pack two all the way up to six. The more you hit on, more or less, the more you win. Go right now to monkeyknifefight.com and sign up and use that promo code FTN to get a free $5 game on the house. With that, let's get to today's Fantasy Five.
Number five.
All right, let's dive into the bargain bin, Brandon, and see what hidden treasures we might be able to unearth. And we're going to go to the wide receiver position. These guys are widely available in Yahoo leagues right now. And tell me if you'd be willing to kick the tires on either one of them. Richie James, who was dynamite. I mean, he looked great. Yeah, a lot of it was garbage time. A lot of it was against zone coverage in that blowout loss against Green Bay last Thursday night. But he looked superb. They get Brandon Ayuk and Kendrick Bourne back. Or Michael Pittman, who looks like he is going to be the number one wide receiver for the near term until T.Y. Hilton get back. And maybe he could still remain the number one, though in a largely conservative Indianapolis Colts system. The Colts do get Tennessee in the short week here on Thursday Night Football. You like either one of those?
I kind of like Michael Pittman against the Titans. That's a defense that you can feel okay about. You mentioned it. Richie James in the pecking order of wide receivers might still be fifth when everybody is healthy, and you'll get Ayuk and Kendrick Bourne back. They'll move ahead of him. So against New Orleans and the way that defense looked last week, I don't expect Richie James to come close to what we saw from him last week. So give me Pittman.
Yeah, I like Pittman too. And he could be a sneaky flex source in a 14-team or deeper league rest of season. And I agree. You know, Tennessee, Thursday night. Oh, there could be a player prop in there for Daddy. Yes, I like me some Michael Pittman.
Number four.
All right, let's dive in the bargain bin for some running backs. Kalen Ballage. I can't believe I'm saying this. I hope you can sense my sarcastic tone because we invented the Ballage barometer, which measures how sucky you are at the running back position. And Kalen Ballage looked great last week, you know, driving through contact, getting some tough runs between the tackles for the L.A. Chargers after Justin Jackson injured his knee in the first snap of the friggin' game. So tell me if you like him this week going up against Miami. Well, we don't really know at time of tape whether or not Justin Jackson's going to be back. Savon Ahmed, undrafted kid. Was he a UW guy?
He was. He was basically a sidekick of Miles Gaskin. So it's funny that they're both on the same team now, because he was kind of in Gaskin's shadow until Gaskin left and then Ahmed took over. So I have a pretty good scouting report on him. I know what kind of running back he is. He's always he did not have a good 40 time, but he's been considered one of the fastest guys at the University of Washington when he was there. And weirdly, all those guys that went to the combine from the UW were way over yoked and they all ran slow times. And so Ahmed is super fast. He's a game breaker. He's not a great tackle breaker and he's not great vision wise. So I think he's limited, but
That's problematic, Brandon. Breaking tackles and having good vision. Those are, you know, attributes that are necessities when you're playing the running back position in the NFL.
Yeah, he was a little bit – there was some times it was a little bit inexplicable that he didn't see certain holes and things like that. But so I don't know. I mean, this is kind of a – if I'm in really bad shape, if this is where I'm at trying to decide for my lineup this week. I guess people are in these dire straits. I will say – game-breaking upside of Ahmed is not – and game-breaking is not what you would affix to Kalen Ballage. But if Ahmed's the guy, I give him a chance to maybe pop a big one against the Chargers.
Yeah, I'm not buying any of these guys. I actually kind of like the third guy I was going to mention here, DeAndre Washington, who the Dolphins traded for at the deadline. Remember, he had a couple of huge games for the then Oakland Raiders late last season against the aforementioned Chargers and also against the Denver Broncos. So if you're going to fire off a magic bullet and hit something, it might be with DeAndre Washington, who I would throw a couple of bucks at. If you are desperate at running back in a deep league, he could tote the mail at least a decent chunk of it this week. It's certainly not going to be Jordan Howard for the Miami Dolphins.
number three.
All right, let's go to wide receiver. Curtis Samuel, Jalen Reagor, 30% rostered or under right now in Yahoo Leagues. I'm assuming you're going to go with Samuel over Reagor, correct?
Yeah, but kind of the same things apply here, though. Reagor can you know, be utilized in a lot of the similar ways, but Samuel's got it going on right now, and they're really going heavy with him, and I'm absolutely on the Samuel side of this one, but I think both of these guys belong on competitive 12-team league rosters.
Yeah, look, I love Curtis Samuel right now. Just so gadgety, so slippery, so versatile. And I think, you know, Joe Brady and his Mad Lab has just come up with several different types of formulas to plug and play him. He played on 60 snaps, had a dozen touches last week, last couple of games, 14 targets, 13 catches, high degree of difficulty catches, 136 yards, a couple of touchdowns, and then contributing the 6 rushes for 46 rush yards and a rushing TD. He has splashed pay dirt in 3 consecutive games. I think both these guys are highly rosterable. I do like Jalen Reagor, not as much this week against the Giants, but rest of season, I think he's going to be a steady wide receiver 3 flex contributor in 12-team and deeper leagues. But yeah, man, if I got some fab cash left, I need a wide receiver, or I have flexes that I need to insert some guys into, and Samuel is sipping my ties in the free agent pool, cast a line, and slap the wallet. I think he's worth at least $20 to $25 of your remaining fab cash. Get him now! The member of the Carolina Panthers.
Number two.
Another guy that could be coming back this week at wide receiver, Brandon, Alan Lazard, 38% rostered in Yahoo Leagues. What's your take on him? Is he going to have his investors rolling in green sometime soon?
My take on him is that Aaron Rodgers can't wait for him to get back. And, you know,
you think?
MVS did have a couple touchdowns last week, but he was, I believe, wide open on both of them. I can't remember the second one.
Oh, the second one, he was wide ass open. It was social distancing at its finest.
And did you see when there was kind of a key play during the game when he could have picked up a first down and he had just this crossing route that went right through his hands?
Yep.
I think I even texted you and said, that is so MVS. Like,
yep.
That is him just making, you know, just completely losing focus and dropping a ridiculously easy pass. And Aaron Rodgers had the look on his face like, you know, get me out of this guy. You know, like, so I think he'll be all excited for Alan Lazard, and Alan Lazard will take the production level up significantly from what you're getting from MVS.
Yes, Aaron Rodgers definitely going to divest from all things MVS, no question about it. Love Alan Lazard, man, and I love the matchup this week. I think he's going to get his feet wet immediately against Jacksonville, giving up 8.5 pass yards per attempt, 11 most fantasy points at wide receiver positions. A dozen guys have gone for at least 11 fantasy points and a half point PPR against this secondary. We got to remember, too, when Rodgers had Lazard earlier this season and he targeted him, posted a 157.2 passer rating. Wow. Mm-hmm. So, and Lazard can stretch the field. He is the second option in Green Bay, and he should not be this widely available. You know, I'd be a few dollars shy compared to Curtis Samuel, but probably like 18, 19, upwards of 20 bucks I'd be willing to spend on him.
Number one.
All right, last and not least, I got a triumvirate of running backs. All have about a similar roster percentage of rostership overall in Yahoo Leagues. Jordan Wilkins at 25%, Wayne Gallman at 25%, J.D. McKissic at 24%. Here's the twist, Brandon. Half point PPR. Rank them.
Gosh, Jordan Wilkins and J.D. McKissic will have me hemming and hawing, but I'm going to go Jordan Wilkins and McKissic and then Gallman last, because Devonta Freeman will be back, and I don't know that Gallman's done enough to just, you know, say that he's the man going forward, and I just think he's going to get absolutely slammed this week anyways going against Philly, so I don't like him for this week especially, but I just don't trust that he'll be the guy for the rest of the year. So Wilkins, McKissic, Gallman.
Yeah, we have the exact same order, identical, rubber stamp it. You know, Jordan Wilkins, he got a third of the snaps. He out-touched Jonathan Taylor again. This time, he out-touched him 13-8 in week 9. You know, to make a considerable splash, but nobody really did on the ground. You know, although Taylor did find the end zone against the Ravens. But again, I just point to the secondary analytics. 3.22 yak per attempt for Wilkins, 27.7 missed tackle percentage. And now you got the Titans on Thursday, who have been flimsy in the trenches, giving up 4.5 yards per carry, 127.1 total yards per game, 11 combined touchdowns, and the 8th most fantasy points to the running back position. And that is the beginning of a 5-game stretch of awesome matchups for the Indianapolis Colts. So Wilkins, he could be the one riding the hot hand there in the nation's heartland and besting his teammate, the ballyhooed rookie at the University of Wisconsin, and Jonathan Taylor. But I do think J.D. McKissic is here to stay to get 4 to 6 receptions every single damn week, although they are throwing to Antonio Gibson a little bit as well, which is a great sign. And that is a wrap on this edition of the Fantasy Fast Track. Follow Funston at Brandon Funston on Twitter. Me at Noisy Wavos. Check out Brandon's fantastic work and his colleagues as well at The Athletic. And check out FTNFantasy.com, FTNDaily.com, and FTNBets.com. It's Masters Week. Use promo code MASTERS to save 20% off your subscription today. Drop us a rating and a review. And until next time, adios, amigos!